Okay. Well, I think we should make a start for this call and keep moving. Can we have a roll call of who's on the call and who's apologised, please, either Gabby or Christina?
I can do the roll call. I got Jaap Akkerhoes, Keith Davidson, Chris Despain, Eberhard Lisse, Paula Fiorenda, Nigel Roberts, Phil Semek, and from the staff I got Bart Bosswinkle, Kim Davis, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernie Turcotte, and myself. Did I miss anyone? Nope. I don't have any apologies. Christina, did you get any?
I didn't get any apologies either.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you. And that's a good turnout for this call. I think this call is primarily administrative or dealing with issues that we've had on our agenda already. I think, firstly, let's just make sure that everyone on this call has received the timetable of meetings so that after this meeting, I'm proposing that we resume our meetings on the 16th of September and meet weekly all the way through to the 25th of November. And on the 19th of July, I circulated a message to the list with the dates and times for those meetings. So I hope everyone's got them in their diaries already, and we won't have any confusion over meeting dates and times on the way through. So we will have quite a long break after this call of nearly 2 months until the 16th of September, getting to the time where the submissions will close. And we have a couple of issues that we did some work on in Brussels, primarily those issues relating to raised by Bill Semich and Eberhard Lisa on various aspects of our report. So did someone just join?
Yeah, this is Patricio.
Hi, Patricio. And I guess the first question is to Bernie, and have we had any submissions as yet?
This is Bernie. Not that I have seen.
Okay. Well, Bernie, shall we start to work our way through the Bill Semich issues then?
We can certainly do that.
We are looking. Hello?
Hello?
So, can I just ask if everyone could, who's not speaking, could go on mute? There's quite a bit of distortion on the line, and I'm not hearing very much.
Keith, remind us how to do that. Is it star 7?
I'm not sure. I've got a mute button on my phone, so
mute is star 6. And unmute is star 7.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, does that sound better for everybody? It certainly sounds better from here. I'm getting less echo and tunnel sound. Okay. Bill, do you want to start the ball rolling and walk us through the issues that you raised prior to Brussels?
Well, actually, you're calling on me, right?
Yeah.
I had to move the phone away from my face to look for the mute button. But, Keith, just confirming you're asking me to speak.
Yes, hello? I am indeed.
On your mute button, too. Okay. I actually had two levels of concerns. One of them was the more in-depth documents that I submitted prior to Brussels. I believe, let's see, where is it? June 10th. And that was my comments on the draft. I had several issues. And then I tried to narrow them down to at least three that I'd hoped we could take care of before Brussels. And we waited until Brussels to actually discuss those. One of them was just the typo with the word misbehaved with M-I-S-S, and I'm hoping that's been dealt with and corrected. I don't think it's worth making a big deal about, but, you know, when you're reading through draft documents and trying to correct errors, it's always good to get them corrected. And then there was the question of the quotation of the February 25th work group document. There was some changes in the language from the actual document, and I asked that be fixed. And I believe that was also fixed in a later version of the draft. And then there were the issues that I have in which I raised even in the very, I don't know if it was the first or the second phone conference of the work group, where I felt it was important that we not fall into the habit of calling the GAC principles policy, but instead make sure that they are defined as they are self-defined as guidelines and advice and not as policy. And I think we discussed that in Brussels as well, and it's possible that maybe my comments were misunderstood to be somehow presenting a negative view of the GAC, but my negative view is of reinterpreting how the principles are to be treated and not the principles themselves. I think there are some pretty good things in the principles, but they are not policy, and I felt that when we said the following are policy statements in some sections of the draft, we should soften that, as we had agreed in the past, to say the following are policy statements and guidelines or something in which we don't fall into this trap of, through the effort to simplify the language, we start defining things in a way that they are not to be defined. So those were the three primary issues that I think we spent enough time in Brussels to discuss, and I think they were worked through. But then there were some other issues, and one of them, of course, was this concept. If you read the document, there's the concept that when the ICON board is voting on something, and that vote somehow conflicts with a plain reading of RFC 1591 or other issues, other established actions or precedents, that the board is somehow creating new policy. And I think maybe that's something worth spending some time discussing, because in my opinion, and as I stated in my submission to the group, they aren't creating new policy. They're diverging from policy. And that doesn't mean that by diverging from policy, they are thereby setting precedent under which they can follow that incorrect policy in the future. And they may think they're doing that, but I don't think we should, again, fall into the trap of giving the impression in our document that we think that. And a lot of it is just sort of how the language is structured, how the sentences are structured, and being very careful in our writing to indicate that we understand they aren't changing policy from our perception, but it's possible that you think they are.
Okay. Okay, well, let's deal with those issues one at a time. I think the first two issues you raised, Bill, I think have been addressed in the latest draft. The third issue is the issue of referring to policies and guidelines, and I think, yeah, we had accepted very early on after a discussion with you that we would consistently refer to or use the words policies and guidelines or policy or guidelines where appropriate, and I think that just fell by the wayside, and so we probably need to do a find and replace in the document and generally substitute policies and guidelines where we've used the word policies. And I think that would alleviate the problems there, Bill.
Yeah, as far as those were concerned. Where is it? Let's see, CRD work groups. second. I actually can't find the digital version of my comments, so I guess I'll have to dig out the printed one. But there were several sections where I basically said, please change the language to read, yada, yada, yada. And a lot of what you've just described is what I asked for.
Okay. And, well, does anyone have any comments any feelings on these subjects?
I do, if I could comment.
Sure.
I mean, I think that, you know, what Bill said about the GAG principles could equally apply to RSC 1591 and ICP-1, so I'd just suggest that the caution in wording also be applied to the other documents. I mean, I don't think that it's absolutely accepted that 1591 is definitive policy, and, you know, I think it's been highlighted in the past. Probably half of it is woefully inaccurate at this point. I think it was an accurate description as at 1994, but to say that it's policy today, I think, might not be the most accurate way to characterize it.
I'm just going to have to jump in there, Ken, because IANA and ICON have themselves both made statements to CCTOBU managers that these are policies, including ICP itself, which refers to no change in policy from RFC 1591. So I think we're really talking about a different layer of the discussion, and that the GAC principles are something that were developed under ICON rules as an advisory, you know, GAC's advisory role, and that's fine. But I think many of us in the CCTLD community would, you know, dig our heels in on RFC 1591 being the policy that we've been following. Now, yes, there are sections in there which were removed in ICP-1, like referring to .com and .gov and .us and so on, but they aren't in ICP-1. So I think the whole point of ICP-1 was to clarify some of those non-policy parts of RFC 1591, and I think it did a pretty good job of it. So I think for us to just blindly agree that the governing principles, rules, policies, or whatever under RFC 1591 that we've been managing our CCTLDs under are suddenly to be treated as guidelines and easily modified and changed when we have these statements from the board itself and from ICON posted on the IANA website to the contrary would not be an appropriate thing for us to agree to.
Although I do take Kim's point that if you were to regard 1591 as a hard policy, there are aspects that probably every CCTLD manager in the world is currently breaching in terms of the original RFC 1591. So, and, you know, it could well be that the GAC, for example, don't really regard 1591 as a policy per se, because it's an informational RFC that carries no particular formal status in terms of what a government might regard as policy. So I think in general terms, we're probably reasonably safe to refer to all the documents, ICP-1, RFC 1591, and the GAC principles, all as policies or guidelines, and it seems to cover the bases reasonably accurately, in my opinion. But are there any other comments in that regard?
I got to say, Keith, I'm kind of astounded at that comment, and I'm not going to say any more.
Okay. no further comments? Bernie, are you happy to entertain those adjustments to the document?
I'm not sure there's a big point to changing the document now, given it's been published for comment, and I don't think we can change what's been published. But I certainly will take them on as part of the contributions when considering what we're going to do with the document after the consultation period is over, if we publish a second version of that. However, I'm uncertain that we'll have a second version like that. So to a certain extent, I think we pushed the envelope a bit just to see where we were going. And if people feel that they want me to go through and rewrite it now with some of those comments, then I'll be glad to do that. But I'm not sure what it's going to do right now.
Keith, can I come in?
Sure.
I'm wondering where this is coming from. We have been, all of a sudden, we have been operating under 1591 voluntarily or not for many years, and now I read when I read the transcripts from the ICANN meeting that the GAC or the European representative wants the GAC principles listed on the IANA site, and 1591 is not the policy or the guideline anymore. It's just a piece of paper. One really starts wondering what the hell is going on up there. Is Beckström again mad or what? I'm quite concerned to hear a statement that now the importance or the validity or whatever of the documents under which virtually all CCTLDs observed are irrelevant. One wonders whether there is a method here.
I'm not sure that anyone's saying that, Eberhard.
No, I'm saying that. I'm asking that.
Well, you know, if I can just add my two cents, I think that, you know, in 1994, RFC 1591 was more or less accurate. It evolved in a number of ways, and ICP1 was published. You can debate about whether it was published in the correct way or not, and I think there's general consensus that it wasn't, and it should have undergone more consultation and so forth. But, you know, the practices that IANA follow today are different from 1994. You know, fast-track IDNs, for example, there's no mention of that in 1591. There's obviously been policy superseding IANA's practice relating to CCTLDs in a number of ways. You know, we started accepting DS records and signing the root zone last week. So there's a number of elements where I think if you wanted to say what is the policy of root zone management today, you would need to factor in all these developments that have happened over time. I firmly believe that the principles, if you wanted to tease them out of RSC 1591, are accurate today as they were then, and I don't think any of that has been dropped, but I think Keith kind of touched on it before, is that there's many parts of 1591, whether they're operational comments or things like there will not be any new TLDs, that are just, you know, just not accurate. My view is that 1591 was a representation of policy or practice or whatever you like to call it as at 1994. ICP1 was a reflection of it in 1999. There's been further things that impacted since then. And if we were to talk about what is the policy today, it would not be accurate to say it's just 1591. Fast-track DNSSEC and a bunch of other things have impacted that.
With all due respect, this is not the fast-track working group. This is not the DS entry into the root zone management working group. This is the delegation, redelegation, and deletion working group. And this has been running under 1591, and it is, of course, in the interest of ICANN and management to soften this. If these principles have to change, they have to be discussed and agreed upon with each individual CCTLD manager. I am very reluctant or even outright opposed of allowing ICANN or IANA to unilaterally decide we are not adhering by principles that have been agreed on by the community for many, many years. Or in the case of legacy CCTLDs that have been delegated beforehand, that we say, ah, all these other things, even the RFCs under which those domain names were registered, is all not relevant. We've changed policy and we decide. That doesn't work like this. If IANA wants to deal, IANA wants to deal with a CCTLD, they cannot just unilaterally decide policy has changed. And we are talking only about delegation, redelegation, and deletion. I'm not concerned about anything else as far as this working group is concerned.
So, I don't think what you said conflicts with what I said. I would argue fast-track delegations are within the scope of CCTLD delegations, but if you wish to disagree, that's fine. But as a matter of practice, I think that what we have today does follow the principles in 1591. But when I say principles, I don't mean to say that 1591, every sentence and every word is accurate. In fact, I believe the majority of the document is inaccurate as it stands today. But the general principles of local internet community support, competency, all those kind of things, acting as a trustee on behalf of the community, they're all accurate today as they were back then.
No, they're not. They're not. Who has decided that a legacy domain name is now depending on the local internet community as the source of rightful existence? Who has decided that? Unilaterally again.
That's
you cannot do that.
1591. Says that you're a trustee on behalf of the community.
No, sorry. We haven't even debated what 1591 says, which is why we removed the .au question out of the paper, because it needs to be debated. Sorry, it's just not there.
Well, you can debate whether it's there or not. I'm pretty confident there's language in 1591 that says CCTLD managers are trustees acting on behalf of their local internet community. Words to that effect. But you can argue 1591 is not correct. It's fine.
Yeah, the exact words in 1591. These administrators are performing a public service on behalf of the internet community, and so on. So there are statements like that in 1591. However, I think I'm not sure where this debate's going, except to say that there continues to be a lack of clarity over what is or the definition of the word policy, I guess. Just for the record, can I comment that Oscar Gary Robles is on the call and didn't want to interrupt the discussion, but if that can be noted in the record, thanks.
Noted, thanks.
I think you could.
So moving forward, my thought was that the document that we have at the moment probably has some other corrections to come that will probably be highlighted in submissions that arrive. So I was hoping that we could have a final version of this document published at some point that achieves absolute consensus within the working group, and the current version is slightly away from that with some ongoing discussions as we are having regarding Bill's and Eberhardt's comments. So if we can titivate the document rather than rewrite it and at some point put it to bed as the final version rather than a draft version, that would suit me. But I don't think that the final report that we produce to the December ICANN meeting will be an updated version of this particular report, but it will be more a series of recommendations as per our mandate as to whether or not a policy development process needs to be gone through. So I see the final report of the working group as being slightly different to this report that we're working on.
Keith?
Yes.
This is Patricio. Yeah, I just wanted to repeat something of what I said in the ICANN meeting, which is that I think that we should pay closer attention to the mandate that we got from the council when this working group was started, and that is to that we should determine what is current policy and whether there needs to be a policy development process to change that. And I feel that most of our discussions, particularly the one that has been happening right now, centers on the question of what should policy be, whether that it should be plain old 1591 or something else that's evolved, and not so much on what is. I mean, the question of what policy is a very concrete and pragmatic one. We should assess what is the, basically, as I understand it, what is current ICANN or IANA practice for redelegating, and terminating CCTLDs, and from that to decide or to recommend whether there should be a change. I feel that we centered almost completely on what should policy be, and not on the first question.
A fair comment, Patricio, and I think that's right in a way, that what we have is a series of what can be taken to be policy statements or guidelines, and there is a lack of clarity about those, and so this the current report is really highlighting the small differences there are between those policies and guidelines, and then goes through an analysis of board decisions that seem to have extended the interpretation of those policies and guidelines. But the next stage is to say, if we all believe this to be the case, that there are aspects that are so unclear that warrant the policy development process so that there will be firm policy for the future. And I think that ultimately is the point, if you follow me.
Yeah, but do you think we are in a position to answer the first question, what is current policy?
Well, I think what we're coming to the conclusion on is that the documents, the three documents that provide us with the basis for decisions are reasonably clear in some regards and very vague in other regards, and so, you know, whether or not you would regard them as an absolute policy or not, I don't know. Certainly not in the purest sense of none of these policies have been agreed by the CCNSO, and at the end of the day, this is one of the few policies that the CCNSO in almost strict isolation can evolve for itself.
What I like about this is, even if we don't know exactly what policy are, we have in a systematic manner reviewed 16 or so cases. And that gives at least, for everybody who reads this, enough food for thought to say, wait a minute, we must do something or not. I think as long as we cannot really nail down what exact policy is, the methodology that we have been using so far is the next best thing. So, and I'm very happy about. I would prefer it to have written nailed policy, but if we can't, that's the next best thing, and I can live with that very nicely.
Keith, it's Bernie.
Yes, Bernie.
I'm along the lines with Eberhardt, and I guess that's why the document ended up looking like that. I think. We keep trying to hang our hat on the word policy, and I think we're going to have a hard time, or it's a very big challenge to come up with that, because the whole history of decisions around CCTLDs has been so bizarre around ICANN, and the fact that the CCNSO came into existence and changes the formal definition of how policy can be arrived, that I think it's going to be very difficult to say this is a policy unless we have very wide-ranging definition of that policy. And the fact that, as Bill has correctly pointed out, policy that is made by the CCNSO, and we do use the word policy there, is applicable to all CCTLDs makes things very dicey. So, I personally think that I also perfectly agree with Patricio. He's made a very good point. So I think if we can combine L's point, that maybe it's a bit of a red herring to try and say anything in this universe is hard and fast policy. The board seems to play as much with policy as with precedent-setting directions, whether you consider them policy or not, or whatever we call them, because some of these decisions have been taken after the CCNSO came into effect. So maybe, taking into account Elsing's point, which I think what we've got here is a series of, we can call them interpretations or directives or whatever we want to call them, and really, for me, the focus of the working group is not about what label to put on those things. We probably can argue until the cows come home about what's going to be the label. And the term policy is making a lot of people nervous. And that's not the purpose of the working group, as far as I see. We've got things that guide ICANN into how it deals with delegations, redelegations, and retirements. And along Patricio's idea is for us to sort of, we've done part of compilation of those things, and we will get comments on those things. And then it's sort of distilling the essence of those things, maybe without worrying too much about putting a label on them, and seeing what we need to do with those as the working group for recommendations to make things more sensible. That's my take on it. Anyways, I don't know if I was just rambling.
Yeah, Patricio again. As I understand it, then what's happened is that we've been unable to identify in an unambiguous way what policy is. I mean, what is the theory that should be followed? Instead, we've done a large amount of work, and I would say a very good work, on identifying what the practice has been and is. And I think that could be as close as we can get to answering the first question. And perhaps that will lead us to what we can recommend on whether there should be a PDP to establish an unambiguous policy.
I think you're absolutely right, Patricio, and that's really the purpose of the research that we've done. We've come up with a number of instances in that analysis that say, well, here's some items that have been decided that perhaps are questions of interpretations of the policies and guidelines, and perhaps we're not so concerned with those. Here's some slightly more serious instances, and here's some very serious instances where the policies and guidelines have been significantly breached. And then the next question is, having seen those breaches, is there a need for a policy that clarifies so that that level of interpretation cannot continue to be expanded in the future, and there's a very strict set of guidelines to work from for the future. So I think that's where we're getting. Any other comments? Okay. Are we? Is everyone deriving a level of comfort that we are singing from the same page on this issue, or that we will get to a point where we're singing on the same page?
I think we represent the CCTLD community at large. It's a diverse and interesting group.
Correct, but our final business is, or our final responsibilities are to the CCNSO and those CCTLD managers who choose to be engaged in that process, but we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that there are CCTLD managers who are not engaged in the CCNSO, and we should try and protect their interests as well. Okay. So the other issue was the Aberhart issue, specifically, I think, to do with .au, and I think Chris and Aberhart were due to have a discussion about some aspects of that, and I know Chris has been on a nice long holiday, so I just wonder if there's been an opportunity for that discussion as yet.
Chris and I spoke shortly before he went on holidays. We haven't really spoken, but that's not really relevant. I think the easiest way out here is to apply the same methodology as we have applied to all the other cases to this one. And then we will see whether we can all agree on that. The idea is not to be revisionist in any way. But I'm not sure that the way it was handled is the way it should have been handled. Yeah. But that's my own opinion, and therefore I think it's better if Bernie applies the same methodology and makes a proposal. And if we can all live with it, we have got a document that we can all sign up on.
Well, as I understand it, and I stand to be corrected by Bernie, but I think Bernie has applied a consistent formula in terms of the documents that he has reviewed, and I know in many cases there's probably other documents that are not readily available or other conversations that have occurred relating to delegations and redelegations that are not part of the formal record and therefore couldn't be taken into account. But Bernie, do you have any comments in that regard?
Two things. Can you unblock your email server so my private emails to you don't bounce? I've tried every single way, and I just can't seem to get through your spam filters. Or you just don't like Canadians, I don't know. To be honest,
I have made only one change, and that's what I learned on the ICANN meeting. There was a workshop on spam filtering, and I applied that thing. But I get the emails from the group, but we'll find a way to sort this out.
Okay, so if you can, I don't know, send me something, but if you can let my account through, we can. I would like to exchange on this. I will redo the analysis again, and maybe if you and I, and maybe you and I and Chris can exchange emails on that. We can get to a point where we can come back to the group and say, this is what we think. What do you think?
I think that's a very good idea. I look at the spam filter business, but I must say, since I've applied this thing that I learned at the ICANN meeting, I get about only 5% of what I used to get. It's remarkable. Yeah. We'll sort that out, and I think we should be able, with Chris, you and I, we should be able to come up with something. If all three of us can live with this, I'm quite sure that's uncontroversial enough that the group will sign off on it.
Fine by me.
Okay.
Start there.
So there's an action point there for Bernie, Chris, and Eberhardt to have some discussions and come back to the group with hopefully a joint satisfactory position on .au. Okay, was there anything else, Eberhardt, in terms of your comments prior to Brussels or during Brussels that remains outstanding?
No, not really. As far as ICD.au redelegation as a case where we need to look at whether 1591 was applied correctly or not. Not that anything needs to be changed. It's just like we have in the other case said, this is new, this is different from the past, and that's it. The footnote in that I have early on that what happens to the grandfather domains, I think the easiest way is to just leave it as it is, and because we this will never come to an end of it.
Okay, thanks, Deborah.
I mean, if you guys want to, we can also try to have a look at that. But I personally think this is going to be difficult, and we're not going to achieve consensus. I can live with the footnote as it is. If everybody else can live with it, and we haven't had any negative input from the outside in any case, that's fine by me.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Benny, did you have any comments?
I perfectly agree with Al on that, and I think that's a very elegant solution. So thanks, Al. I think if we're not getting any negative comments from anyone, we can put that aside and concentrate on the other stuff.
Yeah. What I like really much is that we so far have achieved consensus. If we can get these contentious issues into a consensus-based paper, it will require compromises from all sides, but if we can get consensus on this, that's much more important than our little some little issues that I might have and feel strongly about. If I can if we can achieve consensus on the paper, that would be a remarkable result.
Excellent. Sounds like we're all singing from the same page. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other issues for the working group or any working group members at the moment? Has anyone else got any concerns? Has anyone been talking to neighbouring CCTLDs, encouraging them to make submissions on the paper, etc.? Has everyone any negative feedback or any points anyone wishes to raise in that regard?
What does mean when if we have received no comments from the outside? That means everybody had a chance, and no comment means everybody agrees, or what?
Yeah. It doesn't mean they agree, Eberhard.
I'm not saying, okay, we take this as a vote of 283 CCTLDs approving this. That's what not I'm saying. But it was published for comment, and no negative comments were received, and that as a fact can be noted.
I agree with that.
That's how I would phrase it. I mean, it doesn't mean no comment means everybody's opposed. Yeah.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think in that regard, probably, yeah, there was a lot of things going on in Brussels for the CCs and quite a number of items that were up for discussion and requiring submissions. So perhaps the best thing that I could do at the moment is put a reminder to the list now, and then again in about 1 month's time, reminding that this is a topic for submissions and try and stir up some input, or at least get people reading the report. Hopefully everyone's in agreement with that we should be trying to seek comment rather than just hoping nobody will comment.
No, absolutely, Keith, I agree.
Okay, no dissent from that. Is there anything else that we need to discuss? Any other points from anyone?
8 weeks seems a long time between meetings. Maybe we should try to have one in about 4 weeks just to make sure we don't completely lose the thread. Otherwise, I'm scared that we'll be catching up for the first two meetings.
I've got no objection to that at all. Does everyone feel quite comfortable about having one more meeting, say August the 19th would be a month before the scheduled meeting?
It's fine with me.
Keith, you're the chair. Make a decision and put it to the list and that's it.
Okay, well, let's make a decision. I think, there is a fear that if we leave it too long that things could get lost in the interim. So let's make I'll make a call on the list for another call on August the 19th. And I think it's much easier if we schedule the calls and then, if necessary, cancel them rather than trying to call meetings at the last minute anyway. So I'll proceed with that. Okay, nothing else, anyone? Any last words? Okay, thank you all for your attendance and participation today, and we'll talk again on August the 19th.
All right, thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.
Bye.
Please post the time onto the list, please, because I must schedule this for myself too, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Great, okay. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.